You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Mambo Italiano, hey, hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano, all you Calabrese do the Mambo like a crazy with a hey, Mambo. Don't wanna tarantala, hey, hey, Mambo.
You know, of all the things that I did for the last, well, 2 weeks, I think overall, but, you know, 10 days in Italy, not a lot of, like, didn't go out to, like, a lot of music and dancing, so I like it. It's great, because I think about, like, going into these places at night and having a chance to listen to some of the great Italian music, but that wasn't really what the trip was all about, could have. It was just having a great time in all these different cities and exploring an incredibly beautiful country. Back from Italy, the motherland, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today. Sal Capaccio with you 2 days before Buffalo Bills training camp begins. I mean, there's a lot going on. It's like bing, bang, boom. Back from Italy, on the radio, getting back to training camp on Wednesday. It is here. The offseason is over. Can we say that? Is the offseason over? I think so, right?
We had this discussion while you were gone.
Oh, okay.
Of what marks the end of the offseason. Is it the Hall of Fame game? Is it the start of training camp? Is it when rookies report? Is it end of preseason? Like,
no, offseason is, if you're in training camp, it's the season is starting. It's not the offseason. Like, if you said offseason additions for the Bills, like, that's before training camp, right? I mean, I think that's how you have to look at it. So either way, however you want to count it, you can massage it in your own head however you want. I know the bottom line is that 48 hours from now, the Bills are on the practice field. Think about that for a second. I mean, it's going to happen Wednesday, 9:15 a.m. We're going to hear from Sean McDermott, 9:45 a.m. The team will be on the practice field. And, of course, we're going to have full coverage for you along the way on WGR Sports Radio 550. Where to start today? A lot going on. I do have to recap a little bit of the Italy trip in a couple of fun ways for you, just to kind of share a couple of fun stories along the way. Also, though, want to set up today's show because we got a lot going on today. At 10:30 a.m., it's our weekly visit with Sal Majerana. Speaking of Italian, a couple of Sals coming your way here today, as we normally do, on the heels of the All-Star Game swing-off that I was not in the country for and saw when I woke up that morning, like, oh my God, what was this swing-off they did? On the heels of the Yankees getting a 2 out of 3 with the Braves and now a monster, monster series tonight in Toronto between the Yankees and Blue Jays. And of course, Sal will be out in Rochester, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. He will be covering the Bills as he does all the time and has for many years. And we're going to talk with Sal because it's a perfect time to talk to him about being in Rochester for training camp. What that has liked, how it's changed over the years. We got a lot on the table with Sal. And then at 11 a.m., my buddy Josh Reed is going to join me from here in Buffalo, WIVB-TV, sports director, Channel 4 in Buffalo. Buffalo Kickoff Live begins another season. I'll be a part of that with the show going on this year on television. And we're going to be out at training camp covering everything for WGR along the way, of course, every single day. WGR550.com. I have this morning my one storyline for each offensive position group. One storyline for each offensive position group. Tomorrow, later today, actually, I'll have one storyline for each defensive position group. So check that out. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, a storyline going into camp. This isn't as much about camp battles. Yeah, it might be a storyline, but what is the storyline at each position going in? One, there's probably multiple for some positions, but check that out at WGR550.com. I'd really appreciate that. All right, so Sal at 10:30, Josh at 11. You along the way, 803-0550 if you want to jump on board. Italy was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Had a great time. Did not have any issues, troubles, traveling. I will tell you, we did this whole thing. This was, 6 months ago? We started promoting Go to Italy with Sal Capaccio, Colette Travel, Travel Brilliant. I'm telling you, thank you so much to them, to Odyssey, to an incredible account executive who works here named Stephanie Dulski, who just did so much work along the way with this to help put this together. She was amazing. My bosses here, Tim Wenger, Alan Davis, everybody just the support that was put behind it, and then the ultimate, you know, trip itself with the people that I met, the people that were there, just amazing. Incredible. And what a great time. It truly was like at the end of, you know, at the end of like a summer camp, a weekly camp, Josh, where you're like, you met all these great new friends. You're like, I don't want to leave. Stay in touch. Right. That kind of thing. That's the way it was. All these people I was with. Never met any of them until went on this trip. It was so cool. No issues at all. Everything was great. It's like, you know, have your bags out at 7 a.m. We're going to go to the next city. They put them on the bus. You don't have to touch them. You go to breakfast. Then you get on the bus. You go to the next city. You're there. Like, tour the city that day. You have walking tours. We have dinners, all that kind of stuff. But on the way home, we did have a little bit of travel issue. It worked out fine, but it was very stressful. So I just got Nexus like last month. Nexus is awesome, right? It's TSA. Like TSA pre-check, like, but with you go into, you know what I mean? When you go up through the border in Canada and go over the Peace Bridge or whatever, Nexus. So I just got Nexus. So we had to fly from Milan to Montreal to Toronto. But when we flew Milan, Montreal, Toronto, it was one boarding pass. I don't know why they only give us one boarding pass for two flights, but that's what they did. And they said, yeah, when you get there, it's pretty much you just go to the next flight. And you have to get off because you are in a new country and you have to go through customs. But at the same time, it was, even though it was one boarding pass, it was two flights, it was, you know, going through this big airport in Montreal. So we get there and they said, you know how, Josh, when you travel to a city and you have a stop, your bags go to your final destination, right? So if you say you're going from Buffalo to LA, but you got to stop at Chicago, you don't worry about Chicago. Your bags will be in LA with you. So they told us, yep, don't worry, your bags will be in Toronto. We land in Montreal. I'm like, oh, I have Nexus now. So I said, you know, can I? The guy's like, oh, yeah, go up to this line here. Luckily, I did that. And I went ahead of like a lot of the people in the group because I had Nexus and they didn't. Because after I went through Nexus, I then went to the Air Canada counter and said, hey, am I in the right spot? Where do I go for my next flight? And the guy says, well, you got to get your luggage first. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm in that's going to be in Toronto. He says, no, you got to get your luggage first. You don't understand. There was an internet outage while you were in the air and it affected all the baggage. So you got to get your luggage. I'm like, this does not make sense. You're telling me that my luggage won't be at the final destination. I have to pick it up now. No, nobody in our flight knew this. They were not told. We were all told the luggage would be in Toronto. So now I'm scrambling and calling. And thank God, the reason I tell you about Nexus is thank God I went ahead because I had then had to call all of the, like, I had to call a couple of people in our group and say, you got to pick up your luggage. And we did. And we had to go find the luggage. It luckily was there. A couple of people actually did miss their luggage. It wasn't there. They had to fill out forms. We grab all our luggage in Montreal, get on a flight to Toronto. By the time we got to the flight that was a little bit late, they had to whisk us through and they wouldn't accept our one boarding pass because we only had one boarding pass, like I said, not two. So then we do another counter. By the time we get in there, they put our luggage on. We get to Toronto and they said, yeah, but you got on that flight so late, your luggage is coming on the next flight. So we all hung out in Toronto for like an hour and a half, waited for our next flight to come in. All's well that ends well. Get our baggage. It was totally cool. Just spent an extra hour and a half with everybody. Got picked up, drove back. But that was the only like travel issue we had. Otherwise, amazing experience traveling in Italy with Colette and the buses and all of that.
That okay? sounds so stressful.
It was amazingly stressful.
Yeah.
And some people actually stayed an extra day or two. We came back. And then they had an issue, I think, coming back with a couple of flight delays. Okay. But I have to tell you, and I want to ask you a question, Josh. And this is a great question for anybody out there, because I think we live in a society in a day and age where I can't imagine anybody could go very long without like technology, and especially a cell phone. How long could you go in your personal life? I know your work life, you have to use it. But without having to use it for work, how long could you go without having internet or a cell phone?
I actually kind of found this out earlier in the spring when I did my little hiking excursion with my friends. I did the backpacking thing, and we lost connection like basically as soon as we parked the car. So I didn't have any internet connection for about 72 hours, and it was great. Like I think I could have gone.
You weren't stressed out?
Not really, no. I mean, I was actually I was a little more excited to be like, oh, I wonder if anything's happened while I've been disconnected, you know? The only thing I didn't like was I couldn't, like, check in with, like, my girlfriend or my parents, be like, hey, I'm alive, I'm okay, you know? And they were a little, like, you know, not concerned, but they were kind of wondering how I was doing. So there is that part of it where it's like, that connectivity is nice. But I think I could have gone longer than that too. I think I could have made it farther than 3 days.
But at some point, you're like, I gotta be able to.
Yeah, at some point, you're like, okay, well, I want to check in on things.
I want to give a shout out to a woman. She's I'm guessing I think in her early 70s, a little bit older. She's on our trip. She's a WGR listener, Bills fan. Her name is Kathy. Kathy's never owned a cell phone. Still does not. Does not go online. Does not use the internet. And she was on our trip. She heard the ad on the radio and said, I'm going to do this. She contacted the people, however she did. She just doesn't have a cell phone. I don't know, but this is what she did. She went on our trip with us. And it was fascinating because she had no cell phone to contact her. She had no internet. When we got to the airport, she's like, I have to go get my boarding pass, like go up to the counter. And I'm like, oh, no, you check in on your phone. She said, I don't do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't have an ability to do that. And it was incredible. And I want to say shout out to Kathy. It was great. It was I loved spending time with Kathy, just knowing that she's just loving life without having to worry about and think about any of that. Right?
That's really cool.
Yes.
Like, especially nowadays, like there are some things you need to have a phone for like, and she just kind of figures it out.
Yeah, it was amazing. So it That's just goes awesome. To show you. So shout out to Kathy for that. First night we're there, have this dinner. I get up, I talk to people. Hey, thanks for coming. Sal Capaccio, WGR. I know a lot of you, but we had this other group of people that were there with us that kind of booked separately, but were part of our group. After I talk, this woman comes up to me and says, so you work at WGR in Buffalo? I said, yeah, she wasn't part of our group. They were just part of another group that was with us. I said, yeah. She said, so you know Alan Davis? I said, yes, that's my boss. He's our program director here, our brand manager, WGR. And she said, well, I am his wife's best friend since fourth grade. I live in Iowa, and we are big supporters of the 11-day power play.
Wow.
How random is this?
You got to go all the way around the world.
Peggy and Tom. So Peggy and Tom, it was awesome spending time with them, getting to know them. It was great. We had a lot of laughs. I can't believe it. I sent a message back to our boss, Alan, his wife, Tammy, and said, you're not going to believe this. And they were blown away. And if you really want to know how small of a world this is, we're in Florence, walking through a street in Florence. A man stops our group and says, hey, Bills fans, sees a guy wearing one of our people wearing a Bills logo, a polo shirt. Oh, Bills fans, hey, go Bills. We said, oh, are you a Bills fan? He says, I'm actually one of the new minority owners with Terry Pegula. He just happened to be in Florence walking at that time. His name is Mike Jew. And I was blown away. I looked him up. I'm like, there he is. His picture's right there on the page. And it was amazing. That, folks, is a small world. I love it. Don't need to continue all the things that happened in Italy, but along the way, I might share a story or two that come to mind that was really cool. Like making our own pasta, and my son Max literally made his own bow tie pasta when no one did, and I was blown away that he was able to do it and figure it out. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is great. And they were like, oh, can you want a job at this restaurant? He's got to come back, though. Let's go to Joe in Niagara Falls. Joe has a question. Hi, Joe. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing? You know what? I do airport transportation to Toronto, back and forth. Okay.
Yep.
And you're talking about some of your stories, and it's so funny because the last couple group of people I brought back from Toronto said they made pasta. I go, you're Italian. You went out to Italy making macaroni, right? And they're laughing. They missed your connecting flights from, I forgot what city, to Rome. And they ended up, lucky they had the insurance. When you're talking about the cell phones, thank God they got a hold of me.
Yeah.
To tell me, listen, they text me, he goes, don't leave Niagara Falls, because we're stuck in Rome. We'll text you when we're getting out of Rome. But I do this transportation. Now, were you on a bus coming back?
Yeah, we had it all taken care of. We had a transportation here.
Horrendous. Now, did you download the app? This is for any of your listeners, called Arrive Can. Did you have that app?
No, we had our app through our travel company that we use, Colette. They had a great app that we used.
This app is called Arrive Can. It's for anybody listening. You're 5 minutes in customs, you're out. Everything's done instantly. You're not going through customs. It's all done through this app.
Yeah.
It's called Arrive Can.
Okay.
And it's amazing how fast they got out of that airport to my car.
Joe, I tell you, it was but everything, I mean, the driver, he waited, you know, he waited that time. I called. Thank you, Joe, for the call. And he was really great about waiting for us, you know, when we were up in Toronto. And it was cool. I mean, I was just spend a little more time with our friends who were up there. I mean, I'm leaving out so many people I met that had a great time with, and a couple of different Rons. One's in Orlando, one's in Rochester. I mean, it was just amazing. Great time. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And can't wait to do it again in some way, shape, or form. So you never know, right? Make sure you're listening for something like that to happen again. Bills do open training camp on Wednesday. I will be there along with a lot of other media on hand and along with Hard Knocks. One of the things that I just keep forgetting about is that Hard Knocks is going to be a part of training camp. And they're going to be filming every day. And we're going to see stories and storylines and things maybe that we're not thinking of that wind up happening. I think about Joe Shane and the Giants and the Hard Knocks offseason. And it was a disaster, right? It was, you know, Joe Shane got made fun of and panned. And a lot of people were just, could not believe. I can't believe he said this or they did this. But I think about it, it wasn't intentional, right? This is my fear for the Hard Knocks portion. I don't think the Bills, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. What do you think about Hard Knocks being at training camp? Are you looking forward to it? Are you worried about it? Do you not like it? I'd like to get your thoughts on that before we get to Sal Mayeron at the bottom of the hour. 803-0550. What are your thoughts on Hard Knocks being at camp? Because, see, I think that this team, the Bills, are much more situated and ready for something like this than a lot of other teams in the league would be, and B, than they would normally have been maybe years ago. And the reason I say that is, let's remember the rules changed, right? You were not able to be on Hard Knocks. You were not required to be. You could not be chosen if you had made the playoffs the previous season. And that's pretty much been the Bills through our existence here with Josh Allen, other than, you know, 2018. So the Bills kind of were ineligible. So they always take teams who they're not that good. They're not making the playoffs. They're trying to build something. They have turnover. Yeah, you can't with a new head coach. I get it. So those teams, it's always tougher on them, I think. This Bills team they have now, they've been together a while. This is a veteran team. Yeah, there's some younger guys, but look at these guys that all just signed second contracts going into their fifth year. You know, going into their fourth year, going into their fifth year, like Greg Rousseau. Josh Allen, right, going into his eighth year. These are veterans on this team. They're not in the same boat as teams that have a lot of different parts and distractions going on. This is set, and on top of that, they've had the bright lights on them. They've had holiday games and Monday night games and Sunday night games and Saturday night games. I'm not worried. What concerns me in any regard about Hard Knocks is the Joe Shane piece that I talked about. Let me compare and say, Joe Shane probably did not think some of the things he said would become big stories, big headlines, or anything that happened with the Giants, right? You talk about the Saquon Barkley stuff. When all that Saquon Barkley stuff they showed with the Giants, that blew up. But I bet you there were conversations there that they never thought, oh yeah, like that'll be a big deal. But it became a big deal. That's the thing that concerns me a bit with Hard Knocks, which is there something that comes out that all of a sudden becomes a story that doesn't need to be a story, that all of a sudden becomes a distraction that shouldn't have been a distraction. That's what concerns me with Hard Knocks. Otherwise, I don't think it's a big deal for this particular team. They're kind of used to being in the spotlight. They're used to having microphones and cameras all over the place because they're a well-watched team. They have the league MVP, and he's been one of the best players and one of the league MVP candidates over the last several years. So I don't think they've had big personalities, right? Deion Dawkins, a big personality. Stephon Diggs, big personality. They've had these. So I don't think it's a big deal from that regard. But that does get me a little, and I keep forgetting, oh yeah, Hard Knocks going to be there. What's that like? And maybe at the end of Hard Knocks, you know what? I bet you that the Bills have their way. Because remember, the Bills didn't want to be on Hard Knocks, folks. That's just the fact. That Hard Knocks chose the Bills. NFL Films, HBO, they chose the Bills. The Bills didn't choose them. But there was nothing they could do about it. They got chosen. If the Bills have their way, I'm sure at the very end of it, at the end of training camp, They're hoping it's the most boring Hard Knocks you've ever watched in your life, because that means everything just went smooth. But what can happen is you get to camp and you have a James Cook situation. You have him not report. You have a hold in. You have him say something about his contract. Just say something. Maybe he's practicing in full and he's doing every drill, and then he just says something that becomes a story. Right? Like, that's the kind of thing that can happen, because that's a storyline. At WGR550.com today, I have one storyline for each offensive position and the specialists. I'll do defensive today. And to me, the biggest storyline now, headed into Wednesday, which totally will change on Wednesday and not become a storyline, maybe, is James Cook's contract. He still doesn't have a long-term deal. He's going to enter the final year of his contract. There is that chance he doesn't report. I mean, I think he's going to. He'd get fined very heavily if he didn't. But there's also a chance he does and doesn't decide to do any of the work. That would be a story. Let's just assume all that doesn't happen. He gets there. He does everything. Is there a contract extension on the horizon? It doesn't sound like it, the way Brandon Bean talked at the owners' meetings and other times. It's going to be a closely followed story. But you know what's going to happen? If, let's just put this scenario. If Cook shows up, he practices every day, he does all the work, he's in all the drills, he just goes into the final year of his deal like a lot of other guys do in the NFL. And we're not really talking about this too much during the season. Other than once in a while, oh yeah, James Cook, what kind of year is he having? Are they going to re-sign him? Like, that could happen. But all this whole storyline of James Cook kind of comes to a head on Wednesday. That's it. Once Wednesday comes, it's either a much bigger story or it's not a story at all, basically. That's what's fascinating about this. I did have to come up with a storyline for quarterback for this article. And I thought about it. Well, Josh Allen's the MVP. He just got married. That's a story. But you know what? He's Josh Allen. He's the MVP. You know what you're getting. To me, the only real storyline at quarterback is maybe a backup quarterback competition. Maybe. Is Mitch Trubisky set as the backup quarterback? Is he going to get pushed by Mike White? Remember at the end of last year, because of how the Bills had to play the roster in Week 18 and actives and inactives, and Mike White was on the practice squad, so they instead of elevated him because they couldn't do that anymore, they signed him. But they signed him to a deal that included this year as well. So he's under contract this year for 1 year, just like Mitch Trubisky. They both are for one more year. They're both about the same age, what, I think 30, 31 or 31, 32. I think 30, 31 for both these guys. If the Bills were to release Trubisky, if Mike White goes out there and says, you know, they say, you know what, we're going to roll with Mike White this year instead. I still think there's a less of a chance in that, but if they were to happen, could be financially, because the Bills would actually save $400,000 more by releasing Trubisky than releasing White. This is a team right up against the cap right now, if not a little bit over still, according to some numbers. I mean, that's $500,000 close to you could save. It also cost them, though, $1.7 in dead cap money to release Trubisky. So I think that's an interesting story there. You can check it out, WGR550.com. No doubt wide receiver is a big storyline as well. Lots of storylines at wide receiver. I think maybe one of the positions where there's more of that than anything, because you're talking top end of the position, some stories with Keon Coleman specifically. And bottom end with who's going to make the team and how guys fit in. Elijah Moore, Joshua Palmer, Tyrell Shavers, Laviska Shenault as a kick returner, but, you know, getting a little time at wide receiver, whatever it is. Check it out at WGR550.com. In the meantime, our guy Sal Marana, he's out in Rochester, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle, also the publisher of Pinstripe People. We talk every Monday, and we have throughout this summer, mostly about the Yankees and baseball, but some Bills as well. We're going to do both when we come back, because Sal's going to be right out there in Rochester. He's covered a lot of training camps over the years. He's going to come your way after this timeout. Thanks for being with me. Glad to be back here on the radio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Now, it's been really, really awesome. Every week this summer, really going back to May, June, like whenever we started, I think it was May. It's been really awesome talking with Sal Marana every week about the Bills, baseball, all of that. We're going to have him on here in just a little while. Trying to connect with Sal here. We're going to do that in just a moment. So we'll have Sal Mayer on. I want to ask him about his what he wrote about today at Pinstripe People. Very interesting. Let me just pull it back up. So I want to make sure. I think he is a Spencer Jones, the guy's name, the Yankees phenom prospect. And Sal wrote about him in his Pinstripe People article today. So I want to ask him about that. But of course, he's covered a lot of training camps, the Buffalo Bills. And we'll get with him about that. So we'll do that in just a second with Sal Mayer of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. We are efforting to contact him. In the meantime, you know, some people can sleep on planes. And some people say they can't sleep on planes. I can. It's fine. I've never had an issue like sleeping on a plane. And sometimes, it might wake up a little bit. But this particular trip we took, 8 hours, I decided I'm not going to sleep. I kind of want to be awake when I get there. And just because of whether the time difference and what time of day it was and all that. So I said, I got to find something to watch. So I saw, and everybody's always talked about Severance, this show Severance. I saw it on the flight right there and decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to start watching this show. Everybody is talking about this show and how great it is. And I had never seen it before. So I decided to watch Severance. Have you ever watched it, Josh? Severance?
No, I have not.
I had no idea what it was about. You know what it's about? You do, right?
Kind of. It's okay. Like some weird thing with you go to work and you can't remember when you're at work, when you're at home.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, basically. Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
That's the gist that I got from it.
So anyway, I started watching, but here's what happened. I watched the first episode on the plane. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch second episode. And then watch third episode. So I watched three episodes. They didn't have any more episodes. It's an Apple TV Plus show. I decided to subscribe to Apple TV Plus just because I wanted to finish watching this damn show because I was so into it. And over the weekend, I finished the first season of Severance. And late last night was the season finale of season one. Now I got to go watch season two. And I literally subscribed to Apple TV Plus just because I enjoyed watching Severance on the plane so much. That's what happened. It's a great ad right there for Apple TV Plus, right? I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you that's what happened to me. We got Sal Mayer on and now on the Wester Hotline. Have you ever seen Severance, Sal?
Yes. Sal, I hated it.
Okay.
Exact. I liked season one.
Yep.
And then we started season two, and I'm like, by the end of it, it was a chore to watch it. I just did not like it.
All right.
I didn't like it. It wasn't my kind of show.
Okay. I can see that. I thought you tweeted about
okay.
that. Yeah.
It was like okay. And then it was gone for so long, and then I just didn't like the rest of it. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the other side of that.
All right. Well, I enjoyed the first season so much. I literally paid for the service just to watch it when I got back. So I'm like, now I'm invested in the show. I watched three episodes on the plane. I come back. I want to watch it. I finished season one last night. So season two is on the horizon here.
I can tell you that Apple TV is worth it because there's a lot of other good stuff on Apple TV. So you won't be disappointed with your subscription.
I appreciate that. I did have it at one point, and then I stopped watching just because, you know, life, what we do, right? I mean, it's so tough sometimes to get to shows and things like that I kind of let it go. And I'm like, all right, so I think I'll subscribe now. So I appreciate that. And I'll dive back in. And that'll be some of my training camp late night watching while we're out in the at St. John Fisher in the dorms. You don't have to stay in the dorms. You live out in Rochester. You know, training camp's been out there for 25 years, and I know because of COVID they didn't have it for a couple of years. What's been the evolution of training camp for you as someone who lives out in Rochester and has seen this team out there for a quarter of a century?
Yeah, I mean, it's the 2 weeks of the year that are nice for me because I don't have to travel all the way to Buffalo to see practice or whatever. So I enjoy having training camp, and it has evolved through the years. I mean, I will say that when it first came here, it was like the biggest thing to come to Rochester in forever, right? It was just massively popular. But unfortunately, that also came at the very start of the playoff drought. And slowly but surely, you started to see there was a little bit of waning interest, you know, around, 2008, 9, 10, after it had been here a decade. But now it has been completely rejuvenated because of all the things that they've done out there. And even though it's hard to get tickets, I mean, it used to be you just, you know, show up. You go to a shuttle bus and just show up. Now they control so much of it with the tickets, the free tickets. It's a little bit different, but there's a much bigger, to me, the passion seems even more than it was when it originally came here, because this is a really good team that people are going out to watch. They're excited to see Josh Allen. So, yeah, it's a very big deal in Rochester.
And it obviously helps out the community of Rochester, the local, you know, economy, and not just the media that's out there, and we're out there and going out for dinners, but it's been nice. And I think it's really kind of highlighted Pittsburgh. I mean, growing up, I had no idea how beautiful that place was. And obviously, it's got great golf courses, and it's just a nice town. It's a nice area where St. John Fisher is located.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful there. You're absolutely right. Pittsburgh is a beautiful place. But I think a lot of people, you know, obviously knew Pittsburgh because of Oak Hill and the golf championships that have been there. And even, Sal, even the LPGA tournament that was, you know, in Locust Hill, you know, technically right on the line of Pittsburgh and Henrietta. But Locust Hill, the dateline was Pittsburgh. So I think a lot of people knew about Pittsburgh. But the Bills have added a new dimension, you know, to the town. And, you know, with the campus being right there, and so close to the village of Pittsburgh. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on, and it is a quaint little, it's a quaint little Norman Rockwell type of town, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I opened up today talking a little bit about, after I talked a little bit about Italy, was remembering that Hard Knocks is going to be at training camp, and I keep kind of remembering that this is going to happen. But, you know, Sal, I thought about it. I think this team is prepared for something like this. They've had the bright light shining on them. What concerns me is you never know when someone says something or something happens, it becomes a story you didn't need it to be a story. How are you kind of consuming what Hard Knocks can be or might be or not be?
Yeah, I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have had multiple meetings with everyone who's going to be involved with that show, and including the players. I think they spend time probably during OTAs and minicamp, you know, meeting with players in the big team meetings and making them understand, look, the spotlight is going to be on us. We want to keep as close to the vest as we can. Let's not be sharing, you know, too much for the cameras. I think there's been a lot of meetings taking place to make sure they've got a good, you know, a good lid on things. So it would shock me, Sal, if something broke in those however many five episodes, that is something controversial or adversarial. I'd be shocked if that happened, because the Bills as an organization, let's face it, they do a pretty good job of keeping things close to the vest. I don't think there's going to be a Joe Shane moment,
right?
You know, like there was last year. I doubt that'll happen.
Sal Majorana on the Wester Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sal Majorana, and of course, he publishes his free Yankees newsletter, Pinstripe People. It's great. It's jam-packed with insight and analysis of every game, other Major League Baseball takes, plus great history, stories, and perspective. I read your story on Spencer Jones today, the vexing decision for Brian Cashman. Oh. I'd like you to explain who he is, why it's such a tough decision, because it was really interesting, because I see this kid now on all these highlights every night and everything he's doing, mashing the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Jones was their 2022 first-round pick out of Vanderbilt, which is a baseball factory. And he's been in the minor leagues. He's been slowly making his way through. And the problem is he's just a strikeout machine. He had a 40% strikeout rate at one point. That's untenable if you ever want to get to the major leagues. However, the flip side is the guy is Aaron Judge from the left side of the plate. He's a power hitter, 6'7", 240, runs really well. I think he's got 96 career stolen bases, so he can really move. The talent is just off the charts. If he could ever get hold of the strike zone and not strike out as much, he could be a legitimate future star in Major League Baseball. The issue for the Yankees right now is, you know, their outfield situation this season is crowded. They've got four guys for three spots, so there's really nowhere to put them. Even the DH spot is clogged up. So the issue is, do the Yankees sell high on Spencer Jones? Because over the last 3 weeks, he has exploded. He got called up to AAA, and he's batting like 430 with 10 home runs. It's been unbelievable. So do they sell high to improve this year's team? Or do they hug their prospect like they often do and just hope that this is the real deal and it's not just a three-week hot streak and he becomes a fixture in their outfield next year? It's a massive decision that Cashman has to make, because it could really impact not only this year if they trade him, But if they keep him, it could really impact next year's outfield.
And obviously, there's some spots where they need some help. Third base is one of them. We've talked about it this year, and now with some of the pitching injuries as well. How do you see this team's approach as the deadline, trade deadline, does approach, whether it's Spencer Jones or someone else, and what they need to do?
Yeah, I mean, the third base is a humongous hole for them. They've got Peraza and Vivas, who are terrible hitters. Both good fielders, but they can't hit a lick. So that's a big spot that they have to fill. And that's where Spencer Jones would come and play. I mean, everyone's talking about Suarez as the top third base. He's got 30 home runs or whatever it is. But to get him, because there'll be other teams that are trying to get him, that's where I'm talking about with Spencer Jones. You're going to have to come up with a package where there's a really desirable player going the other way. So if they do that, Jones becomes possible in a trade. If they don't get a third baseman, you know, that's going to be – that won't be good. But that better mean that he's bulking up the bullpen, because this bullpen is – not only is it shot right now, but they've got some guys who just aren't pitching well. And they're not going anywhere. You know how baseball is today, Sal.
Yeah.
You have to have a bullpen to win, especially in the postseason. So he is going to have to bring in a minimum of two arms. And I'm not talking about just guys to bring in. He needs impact guys to bring into this team if they hope to go anywhere, you know, in the postseason. So that's what's going to have to happen. I'm not so big on a starting pitcher right now. They're going to get Luis Gil back probably in the next couple of weeks. And if Stroman, who pitched really well yesterday, if he can keep throwing like that as your number five starter, that's not bad. The other guy to look at is Cam Schlittler, who just made his major league debut. He's going tomorrow night. I mean, if you look at that, if he ends up being the real deal and you get Heel back to join Rodon and Fried, they're pretty good in the rotation. So they don't need to go out and get a guy at the deadline, but they need bullpen help desperately.
All right, well, it's a series at the Blue Jays. It is a monster series. Yankees sit three games behind the Blue Jays. We all know what happened before the All-Star break. The Blue Jays swept the Yankees. That's why they're in this situation. They could either really take a stranglehold, the Blue Jays, on the division, or the Yankees could catch them here. This is a monster, monster series. And I find it interesting the Yankees kind of set up their rotation to play it that way.
They did. They absolutely did. You know, now, Fried had the blister issue before the All-Star break, so it made sense to push him back as long as possible. But I also, there was a clear indication that they knew they needed to have Rodon and Fried for this series. They were going to hope to slide by against Atlanta, and lo and behold, they did. I mean, after that stupid bullpen game on Friday, which, you know, backfired, that come-from-behind win on Saturday, that, you know, you look for moments in a season, Sal, that turned things around. And who knows, that could be one of those moments, how they rallied to win that game. And they ended up winning that series not pitching their top pitchers, their top starters. So that was a good sign. But you're right, they definitely lined it up so they had those two guys. And then even Schlittler going tomorrow against the Blue Jays, because they have to win this series.
No doubt about it. The Blue Jays, by the way, are just on fire right now. 14 of 17, I think it is, they've won, correct?
Yeah, they've been great. I mean, their offense has been off the charts, and we saw that in that series against the Yankees. They just crushed the Yankees pitching. So they've got some guys who are really going well. Springer's having this rejuvenation this season. 35 years old, and he's playing like he's 25. Guerrero. They've got this kid, Addison Barger, who came out of nowhere. I never heard of the guy until he killed the Yankees over those four games. So they've got some good bats. Kirk, the catcher, is a tremendous bat. So they've got a nice team. You know, their pitching was always what kind of held Toronto back. We'll see where the Yankees are going to see Scherzer, who's only pitched, I think he's pitched six times this year. So, you know, we'll see what he gives them. They're going to see Gausman, who's, you know, probably their best guy. So, yeah, this is a Blue Jays team that I did not think would be in this position at this point, but here they are, and the Yankees have to deal with them.
Before I let you go, what did you think of the All-Star game and the swing-off that happened? I had no idea, by the way. I woke up in Italy. I'm like, oh, the All-Star game was last night. Oh, they tied 6-6. And then I saw what happened. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? What did you think of everything?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the game. I don't usually pay attention, but obviously I watched the highlights. And, you know, it was funny. Nobody even knew that the swing-off existed.
Okay, right.
Typical MLB, not inform people. But sure enough, the game ended, and all of a sudden, they're trotting out these three guys to hit home runs. So I thought it was pretty funny that that wasn't a known quantity, but again, it was pretty cool. I watched the highlights of it, and Schwarber, you know, three pitches, three home runs. That was pretty cool. You know, and I found out after I'm listening to, I think it was Michael Kay's show. And he had explained after, like 2 days later, when more news came out about the whole process, they had to pick guys. This is why everyone was wondering why Ohtani and Judge weren't in this. One of the stipulations is they had to pick players who had played in the second half of the game. Because I guess the theory there is they're still in the game. They're still warm. If you put, you know, if you put Aaron Judge in there, he hasn't played since the second or third inning. You don't want him to have to get warmed back up again. Right. So that was the explanation for that, which, okay, a little bit hokey as far as I'm concerned, but that's why the guys that were in there were in there. But it was cool. Now, there's people talking, Sal, about, well, they should get rid of the Manfred man in the 10th inning and do the swing off every night. No, that would be absolutely stupid. This is perfect for an all-star game, but we don't need swing offs to decide regular season games. So hopefully it just goes there and it becomes an all-star, you know, all-star game thing.
Yankees and Blue Jays, they get it going tonight in Toronto, a monster series in the AL East and in the American League. And, of course, the Bills on the practice field on Wednesday. It is a really interesting and fun week, I guess, Sal. We're going to see out at training camp. Can't wait, my man. Thanks for doing this. I don't know what it looks like going forward, but we'll talk again, I'm sure, and we'll be in touch about that. But this has been really, really fun, and I'm glad that you approached me with the idea of doing this because I've really had a good time talking baseball with you every week.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it, and I'll see you Wednesday.
All right, you got it. That is Sal Majorana, Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Yeah, we'll talk with Sal more. We'll have more baseball talk, but of course, it's going to be mostly about football going forward here, and I'm going to be out of training camp. He's going to be out of training camp. We're going to be out of training camp, and you're going to be hearing a lot of stuff coming from training camp starting on Wednesday morning. Sean McDermott at 9:15 a.m. That'll be right during Jeremy and Joe, and they're going to carry it live right here on WGR. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back here. We'll prep you for Josh Reed, WIVB-TV. We will dive all into the Buffalo Bills, the start of training camp, and storylines around the team after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thought I had gained a lot of weight after all the food I ate in Italy. Came home, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I stepped on the scale. I'm like, this is great. Actually, like, kind of lost weight. You know why? They don't put a lot of the stuff in the food like we do. It's a lot more natural and organic, and I'm not into all that, but it was great, tastes great, but I'm like, holy cow, I could not believe it. And everybody's like, oh yeah, that's the way it is when you go over there. It's really awesome, so was happy to see that. All right, you want to get connected with us, you can always do that, 803-0550. Getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Josh Reed, WIVB-TV, Channel 4, going to join me. Bills training camp preview, Buffalo kickoff live on CBS-TV, Channel 4, News 8 in Rochester is going to be coming your way starting this week and throughout the season. Happy to be a part of that crew again. We'll get with Josh next to talk a little bit Buffalo Bills, a lot of Buffalo Bills training camp and storylines after this timeout on WGR.